Well, it's always nice to be back in Pinehurst, where it's almost always a beautiful day. But there's still plenty to do. Yeah, still plenty to do here today around the resort, even though there is a couple of raindrops in the air. And welcoming back to Golfers on Golf is Matt Massey. And Matt, it's great to see you again. It's been a couple of years since we've sat in here and talked some Pinehurst golf.
Yeah, it's great to see you again, Roy.
Exciting times at Pinehurst, and it has been for quite a few years, because there's always been something going on, a course renovation, a course change. This year, it's a new course and a championship, and let's dive right into it. The U.S. Open is here for the first time in 10 years, and it's on the 25th anniversary of the classic finish with Payne Stewart that no one's ever going to forget that has seen it. What's it like as things ramp up around here for the upcoming U.S. Open, now not less than 90 days
less
away?
Than 90 days, yeah. We're almost under 85, I think, now. So it's great. This is now is the a lot of heavy lifting going on right now. So a lot of construction, a lot of growth, a lot of building of corporate venues and all the infrastructure being put in place. So you can start to really feel it now when you walk behind the clubhouse and you look out. Number two is 18th green, and you see grandstands going up. You know the big event's coming.
Well, Matt, based on what I've seen around this clubhouse building, a couple visits this year, you almost had to find a sneaky back way even to get up here to your office.
Yeah, we're doing some really, really great renovations to the main corridor of the country club. As you come in from the front door and you walk down that historic hallway, we're doing some really neat renovations and some additions of some interactive video spaces that will celebrate the incredible history here. So that's all under construction as we speak. The foyer by the pro shop in between our Deuce restaurant and the golf shop is also getting a nice facelift. So yeah, it's kind of, you're having to navigate your way around to get to the restaurant or get to the pro shop, but that we should be putting a bow on all that probably here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, the other things that have been happening around the resort property that we've seen, it seems like you're getting close to finally wrapping up what's been a three-year renovation plan of the Carolina Hotel. And, you know, there's still a few pictures to be put up on the walls, even though some of them have gone up downstairs. The Ryder Cup room has changed around a little bit. But I think what's nice and what guests are going to enjoy, especially the week of the U.S. Open, is when you're standing there waiting for your elevator to get back down to the main floor, you got a big screen on the wall by those elevators so people could stand there and watch the U.S. Open if they got to wait a minute or two for the elevator doors to open.
That's right. We've done an extensive amount of work in the Queen of the South, as we like to call her, the Carolina Hotel. So really the main stack of the hotel, all those guest rooms have been completely renovated, and we just completed that. It was three phases, so we've got all that completed, which is wonderful. The corridors, the main corridors downstairs that come off the main lobby, we're getting those finished up and cleaned up now. We had done the lobby, finished the lobby last year. We built the coffee house. We got a new coffee shop in the lobby, which has been fantastic. And you mentioned the Ryder Cup Lounge. It's now the Carolina Vista Lounge to celebrate our very popular Vista, the Carolina Vista that takes you to the Carolina Hotel. We got that opened up a couple months ago, and it's a complete transformation of that space and that restaurant. And really, it's the bar, restaurant, lounge that we've needed for a long time in the Carolina. So really thrilled to get that open. So also thrilled to kind of finish up some of those big projects, because it was a little bit, you know, it was a lot of work, a lot of time, but boy, the end product is wonderful. Our guests are just raving about the new guest rooms and all the addition, all the enhancements we've made.
Yeah, let's talk about those guest rooms. I've had a chance to see a few of them, whether it's been touring with your director of grounds, Bob Farron, or just the rooms that I've stayed in. Did you lose any rooms in the renovation? Because they all seem a lot bigger. The bathrooms are roomier. The shower space is better. You see countertops with two sinks, more space in the bedroom, more room to stretch out and sit in a nice, comfortable chair and watch the TV. So the only option isn't to lay in bed and watch TV anymore. You've got a couple comfortable chairs in there. And it just seems like all the rooms have a lot more elbow space than I remember from 4 or 5 years ago. Being here.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. In fact, we took some guest rooms out. We had a number of small rooms. It's an old classic hotel, right? And so it's got some quirkiness to it. So we took the opportunity to take some of those smaller rooms out so that we could enlarge a lot of the guest rooms on those floors and really to enhance the bathrooms and make the bathrooms bigger, better, more spacious. And so, yeah, we've it was the right decision for us to make to lose some of those guest rooms, just but to enhance the overall product.
But then again, you've added a few rooms here and there. It the Manor got back online a couple of years ago. And then also you found a room for 8 rooms upstairs at the Magnolia, some of the best Italian food in all of Pinehurst.
Yeah, so we added the Magnolia Inn almost 2 years ago now, 18 months to 2 years ago. Again, that had 10 small inn rooms, and we took 2 small rooms out of that and made them 8 rooms, like you said. And the restaurant is fantastic. Yeah, the Villaggio, what a great addition to our portfolio of restaurants, and it's been so well received, and we love having it right there in the heart of the village.
You know, I don't know if this is a better question for USGA people or not, but 25th anniversary of Payne Stewart's historic win, and this is a place, I know there's a lot of places, but this place especially, Payne Stewart will never be forgotten here. Is there anything that at least the resort will do to help maybe celebrate Payne's historic win here 25 years ago? I'm sure the USGA will do some things on their side tournament week, but what might the resort do at this point?
So we're working with the USGA, talking with the USGA. I know they've got some special recognitions for Payne Stewart and to celebrate his incredible win. I mean, you can't possibly ever forget that, you know, and you're really gently reminded when you walk behind the pro shop, the golf shop, and see the incredible statue of him in that great pose, you know, with that great fist pump. So it'll be exciting. I look forward to seeing what the USGA, all that they do to celebrate his victory, and it'll make this year's even that much more exciting, I think.
Well, a lot of excitement that goes on right here around your office, and you got one of the nice ones. You can actually sit here and look right out on the cradle, and the thistle dew putting green, and all of these things. Your Himalayas out there, and what has that done for the resort? And now that you've had a few years to sort of let it get settled in, you've got a really nice new halfway house out there that I know people are enjoying as they just make loop after loop around the cradle. But every time I'm here, I see young kids out playing. I see people that, maybe they're not up either physically or because of their age up for the physical challenge of one of your main 18-hole golf courses, but they're still out here having a great time on this cradle course.
Yeah, I mean, I think that says it all. I mean, the Thistledew putting course and the cradle, I think it's done so much more than we ever anticipated it doing. You know, if there are barriers to the game of golf, you know, it takes too long, it's too expensive, there are too many rules, all those things, this breaks all that down. It's just any come one, come all, and just come have fun. And I think it's brought a lot of people back to the game. I think a lot of people left the game just because they couldn't physically do it, play 9 holes or 18 holes and, you know, take that much time, or they just couldn't physically do it. Now they can come out here and spend 45 minutes on the cradle and still play a round of golf. I mean, it's a round of golf. You feel like you've actually played a round of golf, which is so much fun, and anybody can come play. I love seeing the grandparents with the grandkids out there, and it just, you know, you got generational folks out there having fun, a grandfather teaching his grandson or granddaughter how to putt, how to play the game. And that's what it's all about. That's what Pinehurst is all about. You know, it's all about having fun and coming and enjoying this great game.
Matt, when I was here a year ago, I sat down with, resort president Tom Pashley, and we talked a little bit about what's starting to happen out at number 8. The course restoration work had been finished. I think it had been almost 25 years since it opened, and it was time to upgrade some things, and you got them done in the course of a summer. But now there's some talk of expanding some practice areas out there, putting some villas in, places to stay out at number 8, and sort of giving it its own little identity. Tell us a little bit more about the Course 8 project.
Yeah, so the course renovation went extremely well. You know, it was primarily a resurface of the putting of the greens. So we took out the Champion Bermuda and put Tiff Eagle, another ultra dwarf Bermuda grass on them, did a bunch of work to the bunkers and the green surround bunkers and all the green surround. So, and we took a lot of trees out. In 28 years, you get a lot of overgrowth, a lot of growth. So we were able to get some of those long views and some of the beautiful long vista and long views that you have throughout the golf course. So we brought that back. Clubhouse got a complete renovation, completely built a brand new bar, enhanced the restaurant, it actually enlarged the golf shop a little bit and refined the locker room. So that space got a lot of work done. And what we're really thrilled about is that we're going to be putting some golf cottages, golf homes at number 8. So if you're familiar with the golf course, in between the 9th hole and the 10th hole, there's a triangle there. So we're going to be putting 9 different units out there, and there'll be a combination of 4-bedroom units and 8-bedroom units. And so we've started to clear the ground there. We've already cleared out all that space and starting to get all the infrastructure in to start the construction with the hopeful. We're right now, our target is to have 7 of the 9 occupied by hopefully May, June of 25. So it'll give us 52 additional guest rooms.
Well, Matt, looking at some of the things that are moving around now with the USGA right here, instead of them hanging out downtown over a deli, they're right here across the parking lot. Yeah. But it's my understanding that you might flip-flop some space with them on the back of your main driving range here, and then also giving them some space out in between 10 and 11 to do some of their outdoor testing when they can't do it all inside at their building right here on campus.
Yeah, right now the primary focus for them and is to get their 2 buildings fully completed. And so the one building, the office building, is been occupied since December. So I think there's upwards of 70 staff members in that space. And then the World Golf Hall of Fame and the USGA Museum will get open sometime later in May of this year. So we're really, really thrilled about that. Now, down at the Aberdeen site, down at the sand mines, Pioneer Sand Mines, they actually, under construction right now, is one of their testing facilities, which is where they'll have their Iron Byron, their ball testing, club testing machine. So that's being built as we speak right now. And so they've got a really nice footprint right there next to the 5th fairway, actually, of the 10th golf course, just adjacent to where the golf course maintenance buildings are going to be built. So there's a lot more to come, you know, with our partnership with USGA on how we can continue to explore and expand some of the things we're doing on the research and development side. And I think we're going to be doing more, putting more of a footprint down at the sand mines with some of the research products that we want to do with them.
Might some of your player and group schools move down towards sand mines as well?
Potentially. We're talking about potentially doing that. There's a lot of there's a lot of acreage down there. The space where their testing facility is being built, it looks like it's got a lot of very usable space that we could, if we decided to do some academies or schools down there, we could. But right now, we'll keep them here for the time being. At the main club here.
Well, yesterday during the rainstorm that came and snuck up on us while we were out on course 10, our group went and we hid in the old pit clubhouse for a while, and there was a lot of nice comfortable chairs and couches in there for the construction guys that are they're building and everything. Right. But you sit there and you look out from that window, and I know that the new name Sand Mines is sort of a tribute a little bit to the history of that property as right. Well. What are you going to do with that old pit clubhouse? Does it get bulldozed? And if it does, do you try to rebuild something there when number 11 comes online? And, you know, maybe look out on that course a little bit and give people some remembrance of when they used to stand there and look out on the old pit golf course.
Yeah, the old pit back 9, really. It's when you look out the window you're speaking of, actually overlooked the 9th green, 18th green in the back 9 sat behind it. So whatever we end up doing with all the other acreage that we have there, you know, number 10 is going to takes up just under 300 acres, and we've got almost 900 acres at the sand mine. So there's going to be a lot of future growth there. As far as the old pit clubhouse has served a great purpose for us over the last couple of years. You know, we have interns in there. It's storage for all our construction stuff. But depending on what we end up doing with that land, I don't know that building will stay. I think that building eventually will go away, and there'll be some other uses for that land because it's beautiful. It sits right, as you know, it sits right up on the ridge. It's incredible views.
Yeah.
And so,
if nothing else, it'd make for a great halfway house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're still working on plans, definitive plans on what we'll do with all that space there. Because mm-hmm. right now we've got a lot of infrastructure to be built. With number 10 opening next Wednesday, April 3rd, we'll be in temporary facilities for upwards to a year. So we'll have a trailer for our golf shop, and we just purchased and had a brand new food truck built for us, so we're really excited about it. So that'll be our food and beverage service down there for a period of time until we get the permanent golf shop built, the permanent restaurant built there. So we're really focused on those initiatives right now just to kind of get number 10 where it needs to get to.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that food truck. I saw the picture of it that it's going to be out there, and yep. Golfers will be out there grabbing a cold one or chowing down on something between holes. Do you know anything about what they're going to serve out there? Because, you know, we've seen a lot of good Carolina pork barbecue sandwiches. Maybe they can steal off the menu from the brew pub down at the power plant.
So our culinary team has done a remarkable job. We did a test run on Monday and Tuesday of this week. So we had about 120 of our employees got to play number 10 on Monday, and another 120 or so played on Tuesday. And we had just gotten the food truck, which is called, in homage to our driving range, it's called Maniac Grill. And so we were able to get that here last week and get it all fired up. And we prepared meals for all the employees on Monday and Tuesday. So great hamburger. Great. There's a great brisket sandwich, an incredible fried chicken sandwich. So they've done a really unique things. And so it went really, really well. I was a little concerned about, you know, the first day of having the food truck up and running, and it went extremely well. So I'm tickled about next Wednesday and having our resort guests go down and enjoy the golf course, but enjoy even though it's modified and it's temporary facilities, I think it's still going to be a great experience.
Well, Matt, you've been around course renovations and restorations and rebuilding for your years in the business. Does it amaze you how fast number 10 was able to come together in such a short window? You know, here it was, you know, January, they're still cutting down trees and burning up piles of junk, and the next thing you know, here we are barely over a year later and people are out there playing golf already.
Right. I mean, think about it. We were, you know, here it is, it's March. The golf course was almost as playable back in October as it is today, just because everything goes dormant in the wintertime. But yes, it was amazing how efficient everyone was in this whole process. You know, from Mr. Doak and Angela, his lead designer, and LeBar Construction that did a lot of the heavy lifting for us. Everyone just kind of converged on the project, and it went really, really well. The weather cooperated extremely well for the grow-in. So it just, everything kind of just hit just perfect. And it was fast. It was, I've been around and, as you said, been a part of new builds and a lot of renovation work, and that new construction was impressive.
You know, I'm trying to figure out exactly what it compares to, but for people who've been to Pinehurst and maybe they've played a majority of your courses, they're going to say, well, what's it like? Is it like 4 or is it like 8? And does it kind of look like 2? What? Well, which other course? Maybe I know that their goal, Tom Doak's goal and Angela Moser's goal, was to build something Pinehurst that really wasn't like the rest of what you had, and it seems like they've kind of succeeded. But if somebody's trying to draw a comparison, where would you put it?
That's a great question. One, first of all, we're blessed to be in the sand hills of North Carolina, and so you have that sand feel. You know, you have the, you know, the and it's built on old sand mines, so you have that consistency of all of our golf courses. But there's such great elevation change down there in Aberdeen on that site. I mean, there, when you stand on the 10th tee, you're almost looking above tree line. I mean, it's incredible, the view. So there's really nothing like that on the other 9 golf courses. But I'd say it feels a little bit like number 4. I think there's a lot of similarities, some of the long views and some of the sand areas and the collection areas. There's some similarity there. The green complexes are their own. There's no crowning. There's no turtle backing per se. There's a lot of movement. Some of the greens are really big, and there's a lot of movement in the greens, which we don't see a lot of, which is something I think Tom Doak does quite a bit of. So there's quite a bit of, there's really some really neat on most of the holes, but there's some really cool differentiation of hole locations. You can change the hole completely by, you know, where you want to put your hole location, because the greens are just, there's so much movement in some of the greens. I love the fact that around some of the greens, you've got some of the collars and some of the surrounds. There's some banking and some backdrop. So you can, once you learn the golf course more, you know to miss it on the right, because it may kick off a hill and kick it back onto the green. If you've got a, you know, you've got a back shelf that you can play a little bit long, it will fall back onto the green if you hit a good shot. So I think there's some unique qualities of the green, which I love. And I'm learning them. You know, I've played the golf course a handful of times, and each time I play it, I'm like, I noticed something else. I had a little shelf here or a little ridge here on the fairway or on a green. So it's got its own personality, and I think we're all still trying to figure it out, but it certainly has its own, it has its own personality.
Tell us a little bit more about that property. Obviously, there's going to be a course 11, and, you know, for years, Tom Pashley and I would sit here and talk, and everybody knew about Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw submitting a routing, and, you know, I'd see Bill Corr in Florida at the PGA show, and he'd say, hey, go tell Tom Pashley and Mr. Dedman, Ben and I ain't getting any younger. We want to get out there and get to work, and I know they've been spotted out there a few times, and knowing them, they love love to walk the land, but once you get past the open at some point, do you think that as their schedule also permits, as busy as they are these days, to kind of get back out there and start settling in and maybe build up the other course? And I know there's been talk about another short course there, some villas. How do you think that property is going to come together?
It will continue to evolve. There's, like I said, there's a lot of land down there, and Mr. Crenshaw are familiar with the property, as you're well aware. You know, being before I came back here a couple of years ago, they'd already walked the property and have looked at where they might put a golf course. So they're very familiar with the land. As far as working, you know, where we are right now, we know there's going to be future growth there. We know it's going to be potentially another golf course, whether it's a short course or another nine-hole course. We're still trying to work through that, but we really feel like the Pinehurst Sand Mines is going to be its own destination. You know, in sooner than later, where it could be 36 holes of golf, another short course, lodging, a restaurant. So USGA's presence there, all the research and development that we're doing, that, I mean, I could foresee a time where a foursome of guys or, you know, four couples from country club up in New England or whatever want to come down, and they want to stay there. They just want to stay there and spend their time down there and maybe come up here and play number four, play number two. But you have an incredible Pinehurst vacation just down the street.
Well, other than potentially the building of a course 11, once you get past the U.S. Open, does everybody just take a deep breath for a little while? There's always been a project or something, what seems like going on now for almost 10 straight years or so. Do you guys allow yourself a little time to catch your breath, or does it never stop here? Because, you know, I've had this discussion with Tom before, and Pinehurst does such a great job of not only preserving its history, and so the guests that have been coming here still see what brought them here in the first place, what's brought them back numerous times since, but also attracting the younger generations who like things a little differently these days.
In any business, not let alone golf or hospitality, you've got to continue to evolve and grow and change, because if you don't, then you're relying on you're satisfied with the status quo, and that's not anything we've ever done. So, you know, we'll certainly, as that final putt is dropped for the U.S. Open, there'll be a big exhale for sure. But we've got a lot of projects underway as we speak. As I mentioned about number 10, we've got to build a country, you know, got to build a golf shop, got to build a restaurant, and we got to put some more infrastructure down there. We want to, now that we've done such a lot of work in the Carolina, we want to get into the Holly Inn and get into the east wing of the Carolina and do some more room renovations there. So yeah, our list of projects, our 5-year capital plan is still pretty long, and so we'll keep evolving, we'll keep growing, and you know, one of the things that Mr. Dedman had said several years ago to me that he had mentioned that really resonated with me is that he had said what was very, very important to him and his family was to make sure that Pinehurst stayed relevant for another 125 years. And I think that's the focus. So for our team that's leading now, the stewards of the property right now, to play a small part in trying to perpetuate the history of Pinehurst and making sure that it stays relevant 100 years from now is what we're trying to do.
Well, Matt, I hope it's a very exciting U.S. Open. I hope there's a really exciting finish. I don't know if you can top 99, but I hope there's a lot of good players out there, and hopefully one of them will do something special, and everyone will remember 2024 just like they remember 1999. And people say, boy, it's a good thing everyone's coming back in 5 years, not just the men, but also the women. And you get the task of reduplicating 14 and going back to back.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a testament to what Pinehurst can do and what we can do with championship golf. I don't think there are a lot of venues that could probably pull off the back to back like we did in 14. And when USGA approached us about wanting to do it again in 29, I mean, what an honor. I mean, so absolutely. So that'll be thrilling to host the men and women back to back. And I've heard there's speculation that the women may go the week before the men this time, and just to change that up and see how that works. But yeah, it's hard to believe that, you know, we're just a couple months away from the 2024 Open, but to think that in 2029, just a short 5 years, it'll be a short 5 years that that everything will come back. Mm-hmm. And what's neat about the anchor site that we have with USGA and the partnership that we have with USGA, some of the things we're able to do is to put some more permanent infrastructure around the golf course and around the grounds, knowing that they're going to be back every 5 or 6 years. So not having to build all these tents and rebuild everything every fifth or sixth year. So we've been able to do some of that in preparation for this Open. So it'll make the future Opens that much more seamless.
Matt Massey, thanks for joining us. Golfers on Golf. And here's to a great Open, and here's to more beautiful days in Pinehurst.
Thank you, Roy. It's good to be with you.